Thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the question-and-answer session, please press star one on your touch-tone phone. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Dan Clemens. Sir, you may begin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome for joining us this afternoon or this morning, depending on where you are. We'll be doing kind of a deep dive into the Sysplex management facilities in the new NetView 5.4 that goes GA today. And our speaker is Pam McLean from the NetView Development Lab in Raleigh, North Carolina. Why don't you take it away, Pam?
Thanks, Dan. Everyone, welcome. My responsibilities for this, I am the actual design lead for this project. It is a fairly large and complex project. And just as an intro, while the title of this is talking about managing your Sysplex with NetView for ZOS, there's also some information in here where we're also doing a little bit of System Z management, which includes OSN hypersockets. So as we go to slide two, the topics I'm going to talk about are enabling NetView to manage a Sysplex and what it takes to make that happen. We are using ZOS XCF services in this release, so I'm going to cover a few details on that. We have a new function called Discovery Manager. This is an extension of a previous function we've had in NetView, so I will talk you through that as well. And then we're going to talk about DeVIPA. We've done a lot of work in this area of this release, and we hope we've improved it. So on slide four, we're going to start talking about NetView as a Sysplex application. So you need to enable your NetView to manage a Sysplex, and what this is going to give you is the capability to manage your entire Sysplex from a single point of control. And we call this single point of control a master NetView. In order to achieve this, you need to make NetView a Sysplex application, decide which items you want to discover, and then decide which user interfaces you want to use to display this information. NetView 5.4 does require ZOS 1.9 or later. However, some of the functions that I will be talking about do require ZOS V1 or 11 communication server, and I will point those out as we go along. On slide 5, in order for NetView to be run as a Sysplex application, we use XCF services for communication between the NetViews. This is really not a data flow, so we are not going to impact the performance of your network using XCF. We've also allowed remote command to use a DeVIPA to represent the NetView application. You'll understand this a little more when I talk about failing over from a master NetView to a backup, or what we call a master capable NetView. Essentially, you can specify a DeVIPA that represents your NetView so you don't have to worry about a unique IP address for each NetView application on different systems. Another thing that we are doing is we're making ROTM our strategic data cache. You no longer need the graphics tower unless you want to run NetView Management Console, or NMC, and look at topology. We have required a couple of functions to require ROTM this release. As we move forward, we do plan to require ROTM for other functions. On slide 6, from a discovery perspective, we kind of group things into the two separate groups, as I mentioned on the agenda, the Discovery Manager and DeVIPA. For the Discovery Manager, we have Sysplex, coupling facilities, ZOS images, NetView applications, TCP/IP stacks, and subplexes. And all of that is enabled out of the box with NetView 5.4. There is a new Discovery Tower that you can comment out if you want to, but it is uncommented when we ship. Additionally, if you want to collect IP interface information or Telnet server and port discovery information, you do need to enable that discovery. And as we move on, we have OSA and hypersockets discovery. This discovery is an extension of the IP interface discovery, and it does require ROTM, and that also must be enabled for that data to show up. So I have this hot tips here to remind you that ROTM is a prereq for OSA and hypersockets. That is the only hard prereq for ROTM, unless, like I said again, you want to use NMC for 5.4. All the device functions are disabled by default. This has been this way in NetView for a while, and one of the primary reasons is because it does use SNMP. And this DVIPA information includes DVIPA, distributed DVIPAs, DVIPA connections, and we've added some new functions this release, VIPA routes and distributed DVIPA connection routing. The VIPA routes and distributed DVIPA connection routing functions require R11 or later. We've also added some DVIPA events that help you keep your information up to date on a more timely basis other than a polling interval. And then we've also added some distributed DVIPA workload statistics to help for problem determination or perhaps historical information. On slide 7, we talk about discovery per ZOS image. In order to get a complete view of your SysPlex, you do need to run discovery on each ZOS image with a NetView. Now, a network NetView isn't required. You can run an SA NetView if you want to use your SA NetView for that purpose. We've also provided support if you run multiple NetViews on a ZOS image, since that Discovery Manager discovery is enabled by default. It's going to incur overhead if you go and rediscover all that same information multiple times. So what we've done is given you a parameter to just be able to discover that NetView and show adequate topology and other information for that NetView. On slide 8, the user interfaces that we have. We have made all of our information available in the NetView 3270 console. We have commands available for SysPlex, DVIPA, OSA, and hypersockets. And these commands provide real-time data. They actually go back out, do all the rediscovery right then and there so you can do real-time problem analysis. We have provided a Rex command interface that can be used programmatically and a sample command interface, which is user-friendly with column headings and information like that. The output is in the form of an MLWTO, and it can be automated. One of our previously existing UIs that has been around for a long time is NetView Management Console, and we are showing topology information for SysPlex, OSA, and hypersockets, and I'll take you through that in more detail later on. We did also provide some commands for some of the SysPlex resources, and the data here is based on sampling events or both. Additionally, we did update ROTM Collection Manager with all of this new information that we're providing in NMC. On slide 9, we talk about the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, which NetView displays data in using our NetView for ZOS Enterprise Management Agent. And again, we have workspaces for SysPlex, DVIPA, OSA, and hypersockets. There are a lot of new take action commands that we've provided. There's also new situations and expert advice. And again, this data is based on sampling, events, or both. The NetView web application is still there in NetView. However, we did not update it with any of this new information for 5.4. It will continue to display SysPlex and DVIPA data as was provided in NetView 5.3. On slide 10, I talk about the high-level architectural components. So this is where I'll introduce all the new terminology that we're using in NetView 5.4. So as I mentioned before, your master NetView is the one where you would have a view of your entire SysPlex. And as you see in the picture, that's the NetView that you would want to set up your NMC or your TEP2 potentially. And as always, you have 3270. So that's the system that's over in the upper left. You would also have your ROTM there in that particular system. Over on the right, System B, master capable net view. A master capable means that in the event the master fails, whether it's catastrophic or planned, then a master capable net view can take over and will then become the master net view. And we have a lot of parameters that I'll talk about in just a few minutes of how you can get things started up again. I show in this picture that you have a ROTM there and it's active. It does not have to be active when that NetView is master capable. We do provide facilities to start it up. The third type of NetView that we have is a basic NetView, and it will report its information up to the master NetView, just like the master capable NetView will. However, a basic NetView can never be a master NetView. It's still a full function NetView. There's nothing missing from it. It just can't be a master. On slide 11, we've extended our concept of being able to view data just at a Sysplex master. Some customers have an environment where they will have a ROTM across their entire enterprise, and they wanted to be able to see that information at that particular system the ROTM's connected to. So I call this a mini enterprise. You'll also hear the term called enterprise level ROTM. And what we've done here is we can have two Sysplexes, and within each Sysplex there is a master, master capables, basics, however that could be set up. And at the master net view, some system definition has to be done that provides information about minimum of one system that's in the Sysplex where there is no ROTM. In this case, that's Sysplex B. And once that SysDef is done for one system, then the master net view in Sysplex A, which I like to call that the master of masters, can discover information about the other systems that are in Sysplex B. So the master net view will establish remote commands down to all of the systems, and then they can send their data up to the master of masters. We don't forward DeVIPA data to the enterprise master because DeVIPA is really truly a Sysplex-bound function. We have opted not to do that. If somebody would like for us to do that, please let us know, and we'll take a look at potentially providing that at a later time. Okay, Tanya, this is a good place to break for questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star, then 1. To withdraw your question, press star, then 2. Once again, to ask a question, please press star, then 1. One moment, please, for the first question. At this time, we have no questions.
Okay, I'll go forward then. Moving on to slide 13, we're going to talk about XCS details. And on slide 13, this is the overview. XCS support in NetView is enabled by default, but it can be disabled. And NetView will use the ZOS XCS services to establish a Sysplex-wide group, and it's going to be titled DSIPLXNN. That NN is 01 by default. It can be customized. So each NetView in the Sysplex can be a member of the group, and the member name is the actual NetView domain name. So XCS drives exits that can inform all group members of the events affecting one or more of those members, such as entering or leaving the group, and this would be a NetView starting or stopping, and updating shared information with the group. And this means sharing information about all the NetViews in the group with each other. XCS also provides send and receive services between members for communications purposes. On slide 14, we talk about how NetView specifically uses XCS. It allows NetViews to know when a master has failed or become disabled, so a master capable NetView can take over. It also allows NetView to know when a new NetView has become active, So resource status forwarding can eventually occur after this new NetView has joined the XCF group, and then we can see that data at the master NetView. XCF messaging supports internal communication between the NetViews so that they are aware of the other group members and what their status is. On slide 15, I'm not going to cover all of this in detail, but these are most of the parameters that you can configure in CNM style for XCF. A lot of these are great by default, and you don't even need to change any of these parameters if you don't want to. I would recommend changing the rank parameter. The rank parameter is the one that tells you whether you're a master, master capable, or a basic. Out of the box, all of the ranks for NetView are a 1, which makes you master capable. 250 indicates a master NetView. 1 to 249 indicates a master capable NetView. And a 0 means that it's a basic NetView. And if you set this to a minus 1, it means that you don't want to play in an XCF group. And the values for this are in backup slides at the end of this presentation that I'm not going to cover. The definitions of all these other configuration parameters are also in the backup slides. But I just wanted to take note of a couple of things that I mentioned earlier. These PROC STR 0102 values, if you look at the column NMP IPL30, that's a master capable net view by its rank of 100. And what I've done there is you can tell NetView to go start ROTM or GMFHS or CAN-SNA, which is our default NetView for Zoss Enterprise Management Agent startup procedure name, when the master capable NetView comes up. So you don't have to have all those processes running on a master capable NetView day in and day out. And moving on to slide 16, I'm going to walk you through the flow of what happens in a very simple two-system sysplex. Now, in this case, the master NetView is going to come up first. That's not always going to happen in a real environment, but that's okay. Some of the other configuration parameters will provide a built-in delay time to allow that master NetView to come up, even if a master capable NetView comes up first. And we've added a lot of these parameters because we don't want thrashing as NetViews come up within minutes of each other or even seconds of each other in a sysplex. So the first thing that happens when a master NetView comes up, and we're looking at NMP IPL12 here in the picture over on the left, is that NetView will initialize the XCF group. Then, when the second system comes up, NMP IPL30, the master capable NetView joins that XCF group. And then item number 3, XCF will communicate the NetView master capable, which is domain NTVE6, will communicate that status to the master NetView. At that point, the master NetView is going to initiate an outbound remote command to the master capable NetView on NMP IPL30. We always keep data flowing on the remote command connection or session, as in IP or SNA, from the master, and we do that for security purposes. Once that remote command connection has been established, the master NetView is going to forward a command down to the master capable NetView and ask to please send all its discovery data up to the master NetView. And at that point, you can actually view the master capable's data at the master NetView. Okay. On slide 17 and the next couple of slides, I just wanted to show you some commands and topology and show a little bit of the power that this master NetView provides. A key command if you're trying to do diagnosis or want to see what NetViews are in a particular XCF group is a new command called list status equals XCF groups. And you'll notice if you look at this that you get a sysplex name, the group name, the member name, which is the NetView domain name, your system, and your status. If everything's well, then the status will be active. If a system or a NetView was actually here before but is no longer, then you'll see a failed status. And two other key fields here are the role. The M here stands for master, and the C's stand for capable. And then you can see the ranks here. Essentially, the 250 that equates to the master. We have a couple of master capables that are coded as a 1, and then we have another master capable with a rank of 100. Now, in the event that there are ranks that are identical, the NetView domain name is used alphabetically to decide which one of those assumes the higher rank. And one of the commands we have this time around is we're showing NetView application information. And from the master NetView, this is the sample that goes along with an nvstat command. CNMS nvst, if you issue it with a domain equals all parameter, that says please send me information from all the NetView domains in my sysplex and show me information for whatever the particular command output is. And in this case, I just wanted to show that this command also shows the sysplex role and the sysplex rank. And we also have a NetView application workspace available in the tab. Moving on to slide 18, this is a topology view for OSA. And this really shows the power of what you can now see with a master NetView. Going down to an OSA port level, and doing a parent view lets you see how that particular OSA port is shared across different TCP/IP stacks, across different DOS images, and how it literally is connected within a CPC. On slide 19, to take you through a failover flow, the first thing that would happen is over on NMPIPL12, the NetView master would stop for some reason. When that occurs, an XCF exit is going to be driven, and XCF is notified. XCF is then going to notify the NetView on NMPIPL30, which was previously our master capable NetView, and it's going to become the master. That NetView, based on those parameters that I showed you in that configuration chart where I said start ROTM and GMFHS, is that new master NetView is going to start those startup procedures as well as starting the NetView for ZOS Enterprise Management Agent. Additionally, I'm showing here that if a NetConv had been done on the previous master, the new master will automatically reconnect to that same NMC server. We do have parameters that let you specify different NMC servers, but by default, the reconnection will automatically happen. And then the new master NetView, if there's other systems in the sysplex, will request that those systems send the information up. And now this new master is the one where you can see all the data from. On slide 20, these are some new commands that we have for XCF services. I've already mentioned list status equals XCF groups. The Plex control command lets you change the rank of the NetView dynamically from 3270. The start stop XCF group command lets you join or leave an XCF group dynamically. And there are some new pipe stages that are available as well, XCF message, table, and query. Now, because these commands are very powerful and potentially somewhat dangerous, they are designed to be assigned to your highest authority operators, and that's how they are shipped with NetView. Okay, Tanya, just a quick break for questions on that section.
Thank you. Once again, to ask a question, please press star, then one. At this time, we have no questions.
Okay, I'm going to move forward. We're going to start now on slide 22, talking about the Discovery Manager. This function in NetView, starting in NetView 5.2, was previously called Sysplex IP Stack Manager, but because we added so much new function to it in 5.4, we wanted to give it a slightly different name to distinguish what was there before. So what we've added is the capability to discover additional Sysplex and SystemZ resources, which gives NetView even more robust IP management. The data is collected using a combination of events, and in this case, those events are message automation and sampling. We also have the capability that a command can be issued to do rediscovery yourself if you have that desire. The information here is forwarded to a master and an enterprise NetView. Because we had this function, the Sysplex IP Stack Manager function in NetView 5.2 and 5.3, we wanted to make sure that the information from the 5.2 and 5.3 systems in the Sysplex was not lost as you migrate to a NetView 5.4. So there is a compatibility PTF that we are providing for the NetView 5.2 and 5.3 that you can apply so you can see that data as you migrate. Now, if you weren't using this function, applying this compatibility PTF isn't going to cause any problems at all. It will just kind of be a no-op. On slide 23, this is just a picture of all the different Discovery Manager components that we are discovering in a graphical thing. And there's two Sysplexes here and two Z-series just to show that we handle multiples of these type things. So you'll see we have everything from our Z-series all the way down to interfaces and hypersockets, our OSAs, telnets, coupling facilities. Okay, so I'm going to walk you through a few scenarios now showing some of the information that we're collecting with Discovery Manager. So starting on slide 24, this scenario is talking about how a socket connection fails because a subplex is being used. And so to set this scenario up, say that a NetView socket application program is written to communicate to all stacks in the Sysplex, but the connection is failing from a stack TCP/IP on NMP/IPL12 to a stack TCP/IPB on NMP/IPL10. So if you want to go ahead and move over to slide 25 as I'm walking you through this, from NMC, if you do a configuration logical from the Sysplex node, which is NVDPlex1 in this situation, you'll see that we get two TCP/IP subplexes, and that's known just because TCP/IP calls them EZB TCP/XX with a number or characters after the EZB TCP. But note here that out of the Sysplex, there are two subplexes. So as we move on to slide 26, you'll notice that on the left screen, the stack TCP/IP on NMP/IPL12 is in subplex EZB TCP/CS, but the TCP/IB stack on NMP/IPL30 is in a different subplex, 11 in this case. And that's why the socket application would not work talking from the TCP/IP stack on the one system to the stack on the other, because the subplexing does not allow you to communicate across the different subplexes. Okay, another scenario that we're using NMC on slide 27 is to diagnose a hypersockets interface problem. So to set this up, an operator reports that NMC topology is showing interfaces named IQDIO as being inactive after system outage due to maintenance. And these interfaces are connected to the hypersockets node. And on slide 28, if you move ahead while I'm talking there, you'll see at the very bottom of this topology, the little blue icon is the hypersockets, real, and then we go up to a hypersockets aggregate. And the layer above that, that has the red IQDIOs and some green IQDIO links, are the interfaces that I'm talking about. So once the operator has reported that some of those interfaces are inactive, then the system programmer would ask if there are other interfaces connected to the hypersockets node. And the operator reports that there are some other interfaces, and then the system programmer or the operator just can activate the interfaces that didn't come back up after a maintenance outage. Because there were interfaces that were green, the IQDIO links with hypersockets, there was still communication. It just wasn't 100% effective communication. Okay, moving on to a Telnet server outage scenario on slide 29. In this case, a user reports that they can no longer establish Telnet connections to Telnet server TN3270B. So as we move on to slide 30, I'm showing all three UIs here, and what I'm showing is how in the different UIs we show that this Telnet server is indeed inactive. If you're on NMC in the top left, you'll see the TN3270B is red. Over on the TEP workspace, the little inactive on the bottom row there shows you that TN3270B is inactive. And then down at the bottom, if you issue our CNMS TNFT, which is our Telnet server sample that we provide, you'll notice that TN3270B is not even present when it's inactive. And this is kind of the difference between the real-time data and the data that's being shown in NMC and Telnet. Now, when the next sampling interval runs, NMC and TEP will not show this server. So on slide 31, the operator goes in and restarts the TN3270B server, and you can notice where I have the arrow that there are now quite a few active connections, so this server is back working again. I only showed the TEP this time instead of showing all three UIs. Okay, Tanya, just one more quick break for questions on Discovery Manager.
Thank you. Once again, to ask a question, please press star then one. One moment, please. At this time, we have no questions.
Okay. Starting on slide 33, then, we're going to talk about DVIPA. We've had DVIPA in the past in NetView. We've had it in Web App 3270 and in the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. But what we discovered was we had a lot of good data, but it probably wasn't organized necessarily as effectively as it could be. So what we've done is we've enhanced commands and workspaces to hopefully provide better problem determination for DVIPA. We've also provided some additional functionality. You can see DVIPAs by type, which include your application instance, stack-defined, and distributed DVIPAs, or DDVIPAs, I'm going to say, so I don't get too tongue-tied. We're also showing a new DVIPA summary information by stack workspace, and I'm going to show you that at the end of this section. And as I mentioned before, we're providing VIPA routes and distributed DVIPA connection routing, which require ZCS R11. We've also improved performance significantly. Prior to ZCS R11, SNMP is still required for DVIPA discovery. Post starting in R11, SNMP is no longer needed. But even with SNMP in the previous releases to R11, the performance has improved. The data collected here uses a combination of events and sampling. when I say events here, this is not just message automation, and I'm going to cover that in a slide or two here. We also provided manual rediscovery capability for DeVIPA as well. And as I mentioned before, information for DeVIPA is only forwarded to a master net view, not an enterprise net view. Okay. DeVIPA events on slide 34. DeVIPA events can be used to give you a more up-to-date, real-time view of DeVIPA information in your network. And what we do is we provide automation for three types of DeVIPA events. DeVIPA SNMP trats, which we receive from ZCS, and we use the NetView SNMP trap DST that came about in NetView 5.3. We also monitor DeVIPA configuration changes that are done with an obey file. That also requires ZCS V1R11. And then we automate on some Sysplex autonomics messages. And those autonomics messages have been in ZCS for several releases now. So what happens when a DeVIPA event is received at a high level? We're going to bundle those events using configurable delays. DeVIPA configuration probably doesn't change very often, but if something does change, it's likely that there's a whole burst of events that could come in a 5 to 10 second time frame. And what we do when we get these events is we want to rediscover all the DeVIPA information on a system or systems, depending upon the impact in the Sysplex, but we don't want to do that if we get 20 events all within 5 seconds. You'd shoot us for that, for one thing, and it would cause a lot of extra CPU utilization. So using these delays, we kind of bundle the events, and then we're going to notify the master NetView that that system needs rediscovering. Even at the master, we collect these notifications because the master NetView is the one that ultimately decides which systems need to be rediscovered. So again, we're working really hard not to do any extra rediscovery, but at the same time keep your information as up-to-date as possible. And then the master's going to send the rediscovery commands impacted, you know, to all the systems that were impacted by the event. So on slide 35, just a quick scenario here. If you just glance at the number of rows that are down in the DeVIPA definition and status summary, you might not be able to read that. But what I have said to do here is issue a very obey file using this dvparms member. And within this dvparms member, I've defined to add some VIPA distributes, some plain VIPA defines, and a few other things. So if we go to slide 36, you'll notice that there's additional rows all of a sudden in the Tivoli Enterprise portal for this same workspace. So that's just picking up information off of a new configuration NMI that ZCS has provided in R11. However, if you have the SNMP traps enabled as well, you'll get traps for many of those updates additionally. So just be aware, depending on which of the events you've automated, and they're all enabled by default, you may choose to only do one or the other. Okay, on slide 37, distributed DeVIPA statistics. This gives you the capability to collect workload distribution for each distributed DeVIPA target. And as I've mentioned, you can use this in one of two ways, or both ways, if you'd like. It can be used for problem determination if you think that workload's not being hand-distributed correctly. You can dynamically turn this on or off. Or you can collect the information over time and use it to look for historical data trends. We collect this data each time we do distributed DeVIPA discovery in NetView. And as I mentioned, you can start it dynamically, and that's using the DeVIPA log command, or you can set it up to start at NetView initialization. We've added two data sets to write this information to. They are sequential data sets. And when one data set reaches a number of rows that you can configure or it becomes full, then we will switch to another data set. And as we switch, we do issue messages that the data set is switching so action can be taken. We do have a sample, CNMS DVST, that shows data in both data sets on the NetView 3270 console. And if you configure it to do so, we can also forward all of this information to the master NetView. That is not set up to do that by default. Reports, these are not provided by NetView, could be written against the data. The CNMS DVST sample provides a format equals no parameter that will dump the raw data out for both data sets, and so you could also generate reports using that. Now, I just want to mention, we still collect historical distributed DVIPA data using ITM. This is not a replacement. This is just a supplemental function that you can kind of turn on a little bit more dynamically. And on slide 38, I've listed all of the information that's provided. I'm going to walk you through a scenario here, and the two key fields we're going to look at are these last two fields on the right, the Sysplex distributor percentage TCP/IP connections and the percentage WLM weight. And when you're looking at this, you really want those two numbers to be pretty close together. They don't have to be identical, though. Okay, so I'm going to walk through the scenario of diagnosing a distributed DVIPA workload. And as we go through here, I'm hoping to show you some new workspaces. You can take different paths through the workspaces to get to the same end result, but just bear with me as I try to show you some new stuff. So the scenario here is that you think you have a Sysplex distributor workload balancing problem for FTP port 21. And if you want to do a truly complete analysis, you need to start with the configuration, looking at your distributors and targets, and then look at distribution metrics, which includes the health of the server, and then I'll show you the output from the distributed DVIPA statistics. On slide 39, this is our stack configuration and status workspace. This existed last release, but there is now a new link on this particular workspace to a DVIPA stack summary workspace. So we're going to start and select the link for DVIPA stack summary for system NMP/IP12 and stack TCP/IP. On slide 41 is the DVIPA stack summary workspace. And this workspace contains three views. They're all about the local stack configuration with a little bit of runtime information. These workspaces show a subset of data of the full definition and status Sysplex distributors and distributed targets workspaces. And each of these panes has a link to get to that full data. But for our purposes in this scenario, we just want to note that the Sysplex distributor is active for this port 21 up in the top right. And if we look down in the local distributed targets, this was a dest IP all for a system with four Sysplexes, that there is one connection for the local system. Moving on to slide 42, we took the link from the local distributed targets, and now we're looking at the full distributed targets, which includes all of the other systems in the Sysplex. And you'll note that there are four rows for this FTP server with port 21. Moving on to slide 43, if you take a link off of the distributed targets workspace, you will now go to a new distributed DVIPA server health workspace. And what we've done is we've moved the metrics that show the health of the servers that are at the targets into a new workspace. We also have an unhealthy servers workspace, which we've provided our determination of unhealthy, but every customer has their own unique interpretation of that. But in this case, let's take a look at the WLM weight column, and you'll notice that for the four rows for this particular DDVIPA, that the WLM weights are 5, 0, 5, and 4. And now, as we move to slide 44 and show the DDVIPA statistics output, when we look at the SD percentage as compared to the WLM weights, with the SD percentage saying this is the percentage of connections that were sent to this target, we notice that we've got a problem here. If we look at the last two rows in the box outlined in green here, the SD percentage, number of connections that went to that target is zero, but based on the WLM percentage, it should have been about 36% of the connections for that. And then if you look at the top row, you see that we had more connections going to that particular target than the WLM percentage showed. So in fact, there is a workload distribution problem, as indicated by the distributed DDVIPA statistics. Okay, moving on to slide 45. This is just a section for more information here. On slide 46, we're talking about NetView homepage, NetView documentation, customer forum. That should all be familiar to you. Again, the next slide is Tivoli software training page. Slide 48, some upcoming classes. Slide 49, web seminars, information and how to get to that. Slide 50, webinars. These webinars listed here are older ones. There are planned NetView 5.4 webinars, particularly for this Sysplex topic. I had a request when I presented this at SHARE to show some how-to webinars. And right now what I'm considering, I don't have dates. I haven't scheduled anything at all. I'll let you know as soon as I do this. I'm looking at doing a how-to on the Discovery Manager, getting that set up and running and showing everything in the different UIs, and a how-to for the DDVIPA. What I'm toying with a little bit is whether to do a webinar on the XCF piece of it, going over those different configurables. It's fairly simple, so I could certainly use any input on whether a how-to on the XCF piece is done. Okay, slide 51, the new IBM System Z Advisor that launched in August. There have been two or three issues of that that are out and available now. We do hope to write some articles for that on this Sysplex topic. Well, one article. I'm not going to promise more than one at this point. Slide 52, tech notes. And that's it. Slide 54 starts some backup slides. I'm not going to go over those, but if you want to just scan through those real quick, essentially I've given you the XCF configurables, a couple of charts that tell you the different UIs that different types of data are available in for Discovery Manager and DDVIPA. I've also given you the Discovery Manager commands and samples names back here. So that's all I have, and are there any final questions?
Thank you. Once again, to ask a question, please press star, then one. At this time, we have no questions.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, for your time. My email is on the front of the presentation if there are any follow-on questions.